Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. We're up to number 6. I got it right this time. This is take 2. So we go on the blog, we go down to Magnetic Wheel Part 2, and we head down the page. We don't have to go through all this again. And you'll see that there's a little video over here, and that's Magnetic Wheel Part 5, the video that I sent you, and that's now on the blog. So I'm about to do Magnetic Wheel number 6, the ideal of effort. This is going to be a two-part video. I'm going to stop after I introduce it and flip to my iPad screen so I can do this a little better. There is a thing called double mood. Now, for most of us, when something happens in our life, we go, I'm in a bad mood, or I'm in a good mood, or I'm in the right mood, I'm in the mood for it, I'm in the mood for sex, I'm in the mood for love. We talk about one mood, but the fact of the matter is there's always two. There's an inner mood, how you feel, and there's an outer mood, how you think. When those two collaborate, when you feel good about what you're doing, that you're thinking about, you become very, very, very magnetic. When you are thinking about something but not feeling it, you become discombobulated. Or when you're feeling it but not thinking about it, you become discombobulated. And discombobulated is another word for repelled. It's a demagnetized, exhausting to be around. And so this is a very important part, because we're building magnetism here. We're up to number 6. So we're going to do 12. We're building your magnetic success. We're building your magnetic will. And we've come to a really important point. And this is called the double mood. What we want to be able to achieve is have the inner work vibrating at the same level as the outer work, the thinking and the feeling. Now, just imagine this for a minute. There are 10 to the power of 28 cells in your body. You may know, and I really don't think I have to remind you about this, that electrical currents go from the brain subconsciously or consciously, the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system, to every single cell in your body to cause it to act. So those nerve distributions go down a core nerve, then they break out into smaller nerves, and those smaller nerves go into smaller nerves and smaller and smaller and smaller, until an electrical current that's produced in your brain says move, and your hand moves. Now, usually, if you feel like moving your hand and you think move your hand will move freely. But if there's some sense of irritation in your brain and you kind of like don't want to, in other words, you don't feel that it's good for you to close your hand, but your brain thinks you should open your hand or close your hand, then there can be an argument between one part of you and another part of you, and your poor old hand doesn't know which way to turn. And that's called inflammation. That's called arthritis, and that's called pain. So this can go on biologically, and then I simplify it by saying opening and closing your hand and having different parts of you, your inner and your outer part, having an argument. Now, because the inner part is run hugely by your subconscious, we also have to respect that you can't be always conscious of your inner part. Like you might say, I really want this, which is intellectualizing it. I really, really want to go to the kitchen. I really, really want lunch. But the inner part of you might be saying, but I don't want to waste time. I want to do what I'm doing. I don't feel like it. And so getting these two to work together in harmony becomes what I would think to be, in the world of success, presence, love, health, performance, sport, becomes the single most important thing that we can work on if we're working on mindset and we're working on energy and we're working on success and we're working on intimacy and love. Because the last thing you want to be is one of these discombobulated people where you stand next to them and all you feel is tremor, or all you feel is weakness, even though they're big and loud and emotional, you don't feel the strength with them. And so a person who can stand very still and have magnetic energy and their outer voice and their inner voice are working hand in hand, this person becomes attractive and they will attract resolution. They will attract everything they need because they're in harmony with themselves, internally feeling in harmony with their outer self, their thinking. And I'm going to draw this for you on the iPad so it becomes a little clearer. But if you can imagine, there's 10 to the power of 28 cells in your body. And if you can imagine half those cells are getting one piece of information electrically and another piece of information electrically, they're in a got-to state across the cell, a highly charged electrical state. And this is believed to be, and I'm not the scientist here, but this is believed to be the precursor to cancer, where we're having very high polarity of inner experience versus outer thinking across the cells of our body, and that causes a breakdown in the cell structure. So let me go now and flip onto the iPad and see if I can describe this a little more easily. Welcome back. Here we go. This is you. This is inside you. This is out. Please excuse my writing. It's so atrocious, isn't it, on the iPad. I should really be able to make it so much better. There we go. Inside and outside. Thinking. And feeling. And when those two are in the same zone, there's a conductivity between them which makes you magnetic. But what can come between them and divide you in half? It's not bipolar. Bipolar is when your thinking is polarized. So you can have fragmented thinking within you. That's just the outside gets tangled up in what it should and shouldn't do. That's one topic when the brain is completely discombobulated. But when the outside thinking is not bipolar, when the outside thinking has some sense of direction to it, and the inside feeling has some sense of direction to it, you're magnetic if it's the same direction. But if there is this thing between them called irritation, then irritation votes for either the outside or the inside to take priority. So let's take the example. You're walking down the street, you're whistling a happy tune, everything's going really well, sun's shining, you feel good about yourself, you're thinking about how beautiful it is to live in this suburb and looking at the trees, you're completely consumed, your inner work, you're feeling good, you're feeling really beautiful, you're looking at the thing you feel beautiful about, so there's a harmony and people walk past going, wow, what a hot looking person you are. They say hello. They're walking along and they know that you're in harmony because of one thing. You'll be smiling. This is an extraordinary thing. And then all of a sudden, in the path, you suddenly feel something squishy under one of your feet. You look down and it's dog poo. Now, that's irritation. Maybe. And if it's irritation, you get a choice. Do you feel revolted? Does your feelings rise up and you feel revolted, or you feel hurt, or you feel disgusted, or you feel angry, or you feel diminished by the fact that your shoes have got shit all over them and you smell? Or are you thinking, what person did that? Are you thinking about what you got to do about your shoe? Are you thinking about a solution? Are you thinking about finding the person who did it? So we all gravitate, whether we like it or not, to either resolving our irritations by thinking, or we resolve our irritations by feeling. Now, that means that as soon as we're irritated, whether it's because of dog poo or a person next door or a noisy car or staying awake all night or the food not being hot or cold or the coffee not being hot or cold or the weather not being the way we predicted or the plane being late or somebody in the office that doesn't say something nice to you or something you thought was going to happen doesn't happen, your expectations don't get met, or as soon as we're irritated because we got bitten by a mozzie or we've got a sore foot, as soon as we get irritated by it, we must, by the nature of the human condition, prioritize feeling or thinking. And that means we become discombobulated. Our nerve electrical impulses to the cells of our body become prioritized towards the thinking side or the feeling side, and everybody around you knows it. Now, even if you don't vocalize, if you're thinking, oh, geez, that bastard who left that dog shit, if I find them, or if you're thinking the other, if you're going the other side, I'm feeling so angry, I'm just angry. If when you polarize, you don't have to speak it, people know it. So at work, it isn't dog poo you step in, but you do have different interactions with people that cause you to become discombobulated at work. And you might put your hand up and say, look, I've finished this project, I've done a really good job, I'm an amazing performer at work. But one part of you is feeling resentful about what's going on and you're not being paid enough. Or the other part's thinking, so-and-so down the hallway got promoted and I didn't. And so you become irritated. Remember this word, never forget it for the rest of your life. Irritation is the cause of discombobulation. And even though you might be performing at your best in a footy game or a squash game or a tennis game or swimming, if something's irritating you, like for example, your wetsuit when you swim, sometimes it gives you a rash on the neck and it becomes annoying. And you're swimming along thinking, oh, whoever made this wetsuit and I didn't put it on right and it's affecting me. If you let that rash irritate you, the cells of your body are not receiving a harmonious signal from your brain. And so you're fighting your own body as you swim, just like it would be at work. And people know it. And I suspect sharks do too. But anyway, that's another story. If there is no issue, I wonder if I can do this. If there is no issue, if there is no issue and no irritation, there is a communication between your inner and your outer world, and you become magnetic. And all that magnetism that you spent step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 building becomes available to you. So there are two words that I'm going to leave you with this piece of magnetic will. The first one is enthusiasm. The second one is thought. We're going to call thought interest. So when you're enthusiastic about something and you're interested in it, you become magnetic. Now, if you have enthusiasm, which is an inner excitement, inner impulse, enthusiasm, but you don't have interest, people know it. Or if you have interest but no enthusiasm, people know it. So interest and enthusiasm are the two metrics by which you can measure your magnetism. The very, very important thing about this, and remembering when I do these presentations here, each one of them is a whole day workshop that I've crystallized down into a scribble chat on an iPad. So please forgive me if it feels like I'm rushing through this, but I am. Enthusiasm must never be externalized. So if you imagine a battery and it's really, really fully charged, and you look at that battery, it's fully charged car battery or a fully charged battery for a Tesla or whatever electric car we're talking about. It's a fully charged battery for your e-bike. Can you tell that it's fully charged by looking at it? And the answer is no. Its charge is not externalized. It doesn't hum, buzz, sing, zing, ding. Its power is contained within it. And that's your homework for life. Your homework for life is shoulders back, chest up, breathing properly, eyes focused, steady movements, all the things that cause magnetism contained within a vessel that doesn't waste it. So enthusiasm is never expressed in a mature human being. It's felt by everybody around them. Because when you are in a car and the battery's fully charged, or on a bike or whatever it is, you feel it. You feel it in the performance, but you don't see it in the battery. And this is a very important thing. As the car starts to move down the road, it expresses the energy of enthusiasm by staying on track, staying on the road, going somewhere that the driver is interested in being. In other words, we're asking questions of people, we're exploring stuff, we're interested in the future, we're interested in their future, we're interested in our future. Interest is the expression of the charge of the battery. Now, this is how magnetism comes to the table for everybody. If you're a speaker and you're enthusiastic about speaking, but you hold it, but you cause people in the audience to be interested in what you're saying, you're magnetic. I'll leave it at that for now. Have a beautiful day. Bye for now.